This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, everybody, and welcome to Cobblestones Chronicles. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and today I've also got a guest, Peter Rowlands from the Greytown Heritage Trust, which is really interesting because today we're going to be talking a lot about Greytown. And of course, Cobblestones Museum is in Greytown. And you might notice that we started talking about Cobblestones Heritage Village because we actually have six heritage listed buildings in Cobblestones, but they're from across the Wairarapa. So today we're just going to be concentrating on Greytown because it's got some really interesting history. But before we get into that, I just want to play a little bit of music to start the day off right. So I thought I'd play Big Sky by the Waratahs, which is, of course, Wairarapa has got some big skies. So here we go. Big Sky. By the Waratahs.
Put this whole town behind, even though it's good to me. Cause when I wake up tomorrow, I don't know where I'll be. Be moving in some circles, be going about my business under the big sky. Under the big sky. Trying for so long to make one and one make five, and you're wondering if you're living or are you just alive, and your dreams they won't hold water, and it's time you were a while out of the big sky.
And that was Waratahs with Big Sky, which is, of course, a lovely reminder of our big skies here in the Wairarapa. So this morning, it's my pleasure to introduce Peter Rowlands from the Greytown Heritage Trust. And the Greytown Heritage Trust are very active. They're fantastic. And he's going to tell us a bit about what they've been getting up to recently and what they're looking forward to doing in the future. And so over to you, Peter.
Well, thank you very much, Jeanette. And first of all, thank you for involving us in your programme today. Where are we? So the trust is a group of trustees drawn from the local community, and we kind of involved in a number of different things throughout the life of the town. And one of the things that I think is probably important to say is that we are a heritage organisation and not a history organisation. So we're very much kind of focused on the way in which the past speaks to the present, and how you kind of make sense of that. And of course, that's always changing, and that's a dynamic kind of status, and it's not something frozen. So in terms of recent projects, we quite recently had a house and garden tour, which we have biannually, and that's a fundraiser. We own a wee cottage on Main Street called Calco Cottage, which needs some upgrading, some repairs and renovations to the back of it. Previously, some work had been done to its facade. So we have been fundraising pretty intensively over the last 4 years to do that. So the House and Garden Tour, which is an extraordinary act of generosity from the local community, because people expose themselves normally. They make their houses and their gardens available to us. And we orchestrate a tour around that. And it's very easy to make it sound as if it's kind of something that you do quite quickly, but it's a year in the planning. Mm. And it's pretty intense. So now there are a lot of volunteers who work with us and help us along the way. So, you know, there are people who actually staff the day, and they're all volunteers. So there's that. And then on top of that, you know, we have various other areas that we're very active. We do a lot of negotiation and consultation with SWDC, the local council. You know, we'll contribute to district planning and individual planning consents, those kinds of things. And we host speakers on a kind of regular basis. Significantly, we have a speaker to the AGM. Last week, we had the garden designer, Lynn Eglinton, who is kind of, you know, a major Wairarapa garden designer. In fact, a national garden designer, has a garden of national consequence here in Masterton. So she came and spoke last week. But in the past, we've had a number of very kind of interesting and exciting speakers around Māoritanga, around heritage architecture and managing it and honouring it. Rob Stevens in particular, who is a key player in the whole redevelopment of the areas around Wellington Motorway, came and spoke. So there's those kinds of things as well. We have a social media presence, which is quite lively. We have a fantastic woman who manages that for us, Janelle Preston, who just keeps it completely on the boil and relevant for the moment. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to trust.
It's great. I'm a follower. Right. I stalk you. But it's a really good social media presence, and it's excellent to see that being used. And I always think it's a bit, you know, of a contrast, a heritage association, right, using a very modern social media, yep, presence. But it's about spreading the information.
Indeed. And I guess, you know, that's an interesting observation about that sort of seeming contradiction between heritage and the past and something that's a contemporary tool. And I guess for the trust, it's there's something here about trying to move those conversations and those perceptions and those understandings of the past into a contemporary frame, you know. And you know, if you look along Main Street, that's happened iteratively over the last two decades. Buildings have found their way onto Main Street, which didn't necessarily start their lives there, although they're 19th century buildings. One of the founders of the Trust, and the Trust is now 32 years old, the architect, Max, and his last name's going to fly away from me for a moment, Max Edridge, he was instrumental in spotting that the small town had managed to maintain buildings unsullied to some extent because of its unfashionableness in economic terms. So, it was impervious to being changed by people, and that in some senses was its saving grace. And then on top of that, he saw an opportunity to rethink it and realign its buildings and its creativity, really. And not too many people will spot it, but there's actually a square in the middle of Greytown, which is on that intersection between McMaster and Main Street. And if you look at it, the town hall and the buildings across the road are set back and the trees are planted so that it could very easily be a square. If you ever wanted to do that in terms of its traffic-wise, the way that traffic experienced it, pretty impossible with huge logging trucks coming through. But there you go.
It's beautifully laid out.
It is.
Well, shall we have another little piece of music to celebrate? I thought I'd play another Waratahs song, which is, I don't know if you're a fan of the Waratahs.
I am.
But Cape Town Again, which is, of course, in the Wairarapa. So let's hear the Waratahs' Cape Town Again.
Yeah.
That was the Waratahs with Cape Town Again, and of course with Sam Hunt reciting some of his poetry in there. And I love that piece of music. It's really fantastic. And of course, Sam Hunt is great. I love his poetry. So I'm going to take us back to talk to Peter Rawlins again. And I just want to mention about the remit of the Greytown Heritage Trust, which I know from working at Cobblestones that we think that Greytown has probably got the most complete Victorian main street in New Zealand. And it's a bit thanks to the fact that the railway went a bit outside the town, which probably saved quite a lot of the older buildings. And so, Peter, the remit of the Greytown Heritage Trust covers the Main Street Heritage Precinct, doesn't it?
It does indeed. So that precinct runs from the corner of Main and Kuratawhiti Street in the north down to the crossroads of Main Street and Wood and Church Street in the south. So basically, it's kind of the commercial trading heart of the town, which is not to say that you know, the trust isn't alert to other things or other places or spaces around Greytown, but that's its focus and that's its remit. And so, for instance, SWDC, if there are planning consents along Main Street that come to them for decision making, will always consult with us. We have no decision making powers at all, but we can kind of guide. And you may have seen, and people may have seen, the style guide which we published as a trust about 4 or 5 years ago now, which gives people some sensitivity about how these buildings should be treasured, looked after, made sense of in a contemporary world.
Yeah, it's an excellent guide. I've read it, and I thought it was really useful to give people some guidance. So, and without being too heavy about it, which I thought was great. I also know that because I was still living in Greytown when there was a bit of controversy over the supermarket wanting to do a new entrance way off the main street and and erect a very large sign, because I know that one of the things in the guide is guidance about signage. So do you want to, I really want to acknowledge the Heritage Trust for the way they took on that, because it was totally out of keeping. But do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Okay, so I mean, that was a major campaign, and it was a big investment for the Trust, to be honest, in terms of both time and money and finding the legal representation to be there to support us. But it's also really very important to acknowledge a number of other community groups and community voices who were vocal and organised and active in redressing those plans. And it was an incredibly binding for the community, I think, because I don't think, I think on record there may be a couple of people who supported the project, but everyone else was very much against it. And it was an extraordinary kind of proposal, because it was going to take large vehicles from the loading dock for the supermarket out onto the main street. And across the life of the conversations about resistance, there were variations made to how that would be approached and which way the lorries would approach and how they would turn and so on and so forth. But, you know, it was a really poor set of ambitions on behalf of the supermarket chain, because it was imposing on a small town with a very particular character. But that aside, in terms of just being any small community, the scale of the development bore no relationship to the access points off the main state highway, which runs through Greytown, would have caused enormous difficulties with traffic, would have caused considerable difficulties for school children. It's almost a direct line for children who are walking to school from the west to the east side of the town, or back the other way at the end of the day. So there were so many things wrong with it, nothing really to celebrate about it. And in the end, and, you know, this came and went over a number of years, but in the end, the national chain withdrew their application to do that. One of the other losses that we would have had with that would have been the Copper Beach, which is on the site, and Horeca, which the Lancewood, which is at the back of the site. The Copper Beach has since been listed, although it does have an ambiguity, because it does have some planning consent constraints around it in terms of the development of the site. But the fact is, if you stand and look down the length of the main street, it is the only significant tree on the west side of the road. So it's sentinel. It makes a statement that's way beyond its actual existence, in a sense. And it's a glorious tree. And variously, you know, people have tried all sorts of kinds of analyses of its health and things. You know, I mean, it's multi-trunked, and people have suggested that's a problem, but actually, that's what copper beeches do. They bifurcate. I have one in my garden. It's got a bifurcated trunk. And then you can start promoting a neurosis. Well, you know, it's actually a danger to people. And statistically, I think it's 1 in 1 million people are killed by a falling tree. It's not a reason to take a tree down unless we can identify it is genuinely a risk to a community or to individuals. And the other side of that coin is, you know, we have a 1 in 107 chance over across our lifetime of being killed in a car accident. And nobody jumps up and down and says we ought to remove the cars from the road. We're slightly inconsistent in our terrors, you know. But So the Copper Beech is there. It's glorious. And we are monitoring it. We're keeping a wary eye on its existence, because it's such an important statement on the landscape, on the townscape. And we're about to put a small sign on the side of a neighbouring shop, which just outlines the history of the tree, and to celebrate it, you know.
Oh, lovely. It is a particularly beautiful tree. And of course, Greytown is well known as having had the first Arbor Day in New Zealand. And Greytown's very proud of its trees. And there's a number of very significant trees around the place. Not all native, of course. And, of course, there's the very famous gum tree outside the St. Luke's Church, which there's a story about as well, because seemingly the person who was delivering the gums to Carterton got waylaid by a young lady in when he stopped to slake his thirst in the Rising Sun Hotel, and somebody was sent out to kidnap three of the 12 saplings that were on their way to Carterton. I wonder if sometimes Carterton people have quite forgiven that.
Interesting to know.
I shall ask around. I think it's one of the things that the Heritage Trust does very well is draw attention to our trees. And I think last year the speaker at the AGM was talking about the importance of trees.
Yeah, that's absolutely so. So last year's speaker was Suzette Goldsmith. I just happen to have her book here. Who is an academic and an extraordinarily kind of knowledgeable woman about trees within this region generally, came and spoke. It was a complex and interesting analysis, and she looked at through a lens of very particular trees and their histories and how they've been assessed and made notable and thus protected. But her synthesis, and it's one I have huge sympathy with, is not that we should be arguing about which trees should remain, but why a tree should be removed. You know, we're too glib, we're too flippant about removing trees from sites sometimes. And in a place like Greytown, where trees give it its character, and in an era where we're very aware that the ecology and the climate are at risk, and that trees do a colossally important job in carbon sequestration, about monitoring and protecting us from excesses. That looking after our trees is terribly, terribly important. My partner and I have just built a house on Kuratawhiti Street, and one of the things that we had to work very hard at with an arboriculturalist and an arborist and the architect was making sure that we did not put the three very significant trees on that site at risk, you know. For the trust, there's a task here to make sure people know that there are ways of approaching living with trees that are kind of healthy and sustaining, and we ought to be planting more trees.
Yes, definitely planting trees, and also it. Sometimes we forget how long it takes for a tree to grow. And I've heard some very glib promises being given of, we'll replace the trees. Yes, well, you're not going to replace them with a 100-year-old tree. And when we lived in Greytown, we had a very large tree in our garden, which was an English beach, which was obviously very old because it was very large. And we had an arborist look at it every year just to make sure it was in good health and that it wasn't going to fall over. And it, we actually found, I think the first year we were there, we found what's called a girding root, which had made its way around the bottom. And the arborist said, well, what will happen is eventually that would strangle the tree. It'd take a few years, but it wasn't much to look after, you know, to do something about it. So it's, I think what the Heritage Trust does is really useful education that, you know, you don't always have to take a tree down, as you said. Keep it, making sure that there's a very, very, very good reason for taking it.
And you know, we can manage trees. You can take branches away that don't diminish the character of the tree and solve a problem around overshading or impinging upon something. But it's incredibly important that we look at those options, that we aren't rigid about, thinking that we have to clear the site in order to do this, or that the garden has become invasive in some sense. And there are wonderful backstories, hugely wonderful backstories. There's a tree long gone, long, long gone, that was in a house called Elmwood on Coratafitti Street. And it is thought, actually, that the copper beech we were referring to earlier, which is on Main Street, was a seedling that came from that tree. And it's thought that Mata Mahupuka, who was a close friend or relationship of Catherine Mansfield's briefly, and who lived at Elmwood for a while, one of her children's afterbirth is buried under that tree. The Fenua is there. So there's these wonderful kinds of bits of history around trees that sometimes we have to look for to reveal them to ourselves. You know, and that I think is extraordinarily important.
It's that's, I think, so important is, you know, why did somebody plant that tree there eventually? Right, so let's have a little piece of music now. And I'm going to indulge myself by playing some Scottish music. I have Fiona Ross with Tony McManus. And this is a very, very Scottish song called The Laird o' Cockpen.
The Laird o' Cockpen, he's crude and he's great. His mind is staying up with the things of the state. He's wanted a wife, he's promised to keep, but favour we woo and less fascists to seek. Down by the dyke side, a lady did dwell. At his table he thought she'd look well. MacLeish is a doctor, a clever's folly, a penniless lass with a lang pedigree. His wig was weel put up and as good as new. His waistcoat was white and his coat it was blue. He's put on a ring and a sword and cocked hat, and walked the refuse the laird wi' all that. He's ta'en the grey mare and he's rade canna lee. He's wrapped at the yetts of Claver's folly. He tell Mistress Jean to come speedily ben. She's wanted to speak wi' the laird Cockpen. Was making the elder floor wine, and what brings the laird at such a light time? She's took off her apron, put on her silk gown, her much wi' red ribbons and gae the wad doon. And when she's one. Dumping up the steam, he's sighted he key. He's mounted the mare and he's straight cannily. And half times he knocked as he gave through the glen. She was daft to refuse the Laird of Cockpen.
The Laird of Cockpen, that's a lovely, very Scottish song. So, talking about Scotland and talking about heritage, it's interesting that the Heritage Trust has a great relationship with Papawai, because I know Papawai's a very unique marae. So would you like to talk to us about the Heritage Trust and Papawai and about how you work together?
Okay. So I mean, that's flattering to have it described as great. I think it's more honest for us to say that it's fledgling. I think that what we're in the midst of is that dialogue of learning and listening hard. We became aware that one of the things, and we're not the only organisation that's guilty of it, but one of the things that historically perhaps we'd done was concentrate and focus on that settler sensibility that, you know, built Main Street. And that what isn't often included in an intelligent way is Papawai and the much longer history of Māori in the South Wairarapa. So we're at the beginnings of that kind of dialogue and detail. We're just about to establish a memorandum of understanding with Papawai. And what we're also doing is renewing some of our kind of history portals. So we have a network of signs around Greytown, and we will be talking with Papawai about what stories and what sites they want to have recognised and have celebrated throughout the area. We've also quite deliberately, I think, over the last 2 or 3 years, had speakers with Māori tikanga who have come to speak at formal occasions, and to extend our knowledge of what it is that we need to be both cognizant of and sensitive to, because I think sometimes, you know, in a sort of revisited colonialism, we can lose sight of the relationship and the importance of it.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent viewpoint, and I know I have been to a couple of talks at the Heritage Trust has organised, and I heard Sir Kim Wickman talk at one of those, and it was after that that I actually had him come on the programme and talk about his knowledge of Greytown, because he's very knowledgeable, because I didn't realise his family has been here forever, and he came on and talked about the origin story, where of the two, how the two ancestors got together, and how his great 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 grandmother had been kidnapped by one of those naughty warlords. So it's a really fascinating story. I think that it's, I know Sir Kim talked about the twin towns, and hopefully in the not too distant future, Cobblestones Museum will have new exhibition in the entrance, which I know they're working on at the moment, which talks about the Twin Towns, because at one time there was a very close relationship between the settlers and Papawai. Right, so I'm going to play another song now. I'm going to play a song which I always think is particularly appropriate. It's 6 months in a Leaky Boat, which is, of course, so many of our ancestors would have spent at least 6 months, whether they were sailing from Hawaii or from Europe, at least 6 months in a leaky boat. So here we go. 6 months in a leaky boat. And that was 6 months in a leaky boat. So back to the Greytown Heritage Trust again. So, Peter, tell me, who are the trustees?
Okay, so the trustees are all volunteers. And the Trust works very hard at trying to get a balance that's kind of coherent and skilled. So amongst the people who sit on the Trust, we have had an architect, a planner, a significant garden designer, interior designer, and when I talk about an interior designer, that's a commercial interior designer, three business owners, both locally and nationally. And sometimes there's replication there because the one and the same individual wears a couple of hats. And we work very hard at trying to get significantly skilled people so that what we're doing is offering Greytown a reasonably robust analysis of kind of what we're trying to do or what we're doing, and that we're not kind of whizzing around in small circles in a slightly ethereal kind of manner. We have just lost a very significant person, Gina Jones, after 22 years, who's an architect and an artist in her own right, has resigned through ill health, and that's a considerable loss. She carries enormous intellectual and cultural capital for the Trust, so that absence will be felt, and we're casting around at the moment for that skill mix again. If there are heritage architects with time on their hands, we'd love to hear from them. Periodically, of course, people move on, and so you find yourself looking for replacement people, sometimes with the same set of skills or sometimes with a variation of skills, because, of course, the organisation changes over time as well. But what's important in all that, I think, is to give us credibility. When you're sitting giving feedback at a district plan forum, you need to be able to say, actually, this comes from an informed position rather than a wistful one. Yeah. And our chairperson is quite extraordinary. I mean, she's a long-term Wairarapa individual who moved away to Auckland for a while but has been back a long time. And so what she brings is an extraordinary network of knowledge about the people who live in the area. She's quite extraordinary. I mean, I sit sometimes in awe at meetings. She kind of pulls people from the back of her thinking and thinks and tells us, well, here's a fit. Here's somebody who could contribute to X, Y, or Z.
Yes, she's an excellent, very widely connected person.
Yes.
She's a delight.
Yes.
Absolutely a delight. And she's only a little person as well. That's so funny. She has an incredible network.
Yeah, she's extraordinary. Yeah.
I want to congratulate the Heritage Trust for the great job that you all do. And I know that you are listened to. People do listen to what's said. And I enjoyed the way you go about it. So thank you so much for coming in today and giving us lots of information. So we can go on to the website and onto the Facebook page if we want to see what's going on. And I suggest that, you follow on the Heritage Trust on Facebook, and then you can find out what's happening. So just before we finish, I just want to remind everybody that the Festival of Christmas is coming up, so you can go down to Greytown and have a wander up and down the High Street while all the buildings are lit up and look incredibly attractive and pretty. And I also just want to let you know that at Cobblestones, at the start of the Festival of Christmas. There's going to be the illuminations again, which are always worth going to have a look at, worth going to see. Last year, the tickets sold out, so you need to get in early and have a see what's happening. That's also a fundraiser for Cobblestones, because as you know, Peter, heritage listed buildings are not exactly cheap to keep. They need to be looked after, and the style guide is a very useful resource. Well, that's it about it for this week. Thank you for listening. We will be talking more about Greytown next time. But meantime, everybody stay safe. And if you want to get in touch with me, then please go through Cobblestones Museum. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.